welcome back
to the Basketball Podcast. In this episode, we're going to be talking about the NBA, of course, but more importantly, why I'm not going to watch the NBA when it returns. That's right. I'm not going to watch the NBA when it returns because it's dumb, and I'm going to tell you why. But before we get into that, a word from our sponsor. As you first open this podcast episode, and obviously as you see the title and you hear the intro, your first question, maybe your only question, would be, why would you even make this? You've been gone for 6 months. You haven't posted anything. Now you're posting an episode just to tell us why you're not going to watch the NBA. My hope through this episode is purely just to help expand your perspective and maybe help you to think through, why would I watch the NBA again? I wouldn't necessarily default to the, especially with what's taking place in our world today, don't default to the let's just watch it because it's back. This is a little political. It's not Democratic versus Republican political. It's more of a morality issue for me. So I'll just kind of come out and say why I'm not going to watch the NBA. I think the NBA is two-faced. I think they exploit social justice movements for the sake of making money, and then they choose to neglect other social justice movements for the sake of making money. Their objective is to make money. That's true for any company, for any corporation. But to manipulate social justice movements for the sake of making money doesn't sit well with me, to blatantly do it. I think other companies will obviously also abuse the situations and opportunities that are presented through social justice movements and through just culturally changes that take place. Companies are always looking to make money, and they'll do whatever they can to make money. The NBA, though, is just so blatantly two-faced that it's hard for me to sit back and say, yep, I'm in support of this organization, while also understanding and recognizing some of the things that they've done in the last year. Let me clarify, this is not me taking a stance and saying, I'm not in support of the Black Lives Matter movement. That's not the case at all. I'm very much in support of continued social justice reform in the United States, specifically to help advance culturally and socially Black people. We're only 50 years, 60 years removed from segregation, not even, maybe even 40 years in some parts of the country. It's not that far in the distance, or excuse me, it's not that far back in our history where we weren't letting Black people sit in the same seats, drink from the same water fountains, use the same bathrooms as white people. That mindset still exists in people that are living today. There are people living today that were teenagers and young adults, even kids, when that was happening. So that's not an extinct part of our history. That's still potentially present, and there are still racial tensions that take place in the United States. Clearly evidenced by some of the killings that have taken place, the use of force that have taken place in the murders, the killings of some of Breonna Taylor, George Floyd, some of the other folks that have died in the last 5 years due to what is perceived as racial profiling, police brutality. And you know, my stance on that, quite honestly, is I'm not a Black person, so I can't empathize with what it means to be Black in the United States. But if a Black person in a Black community tells me that they feel like they are racially profiled and they feel like they are not given the same social justice opportunities, then I at least have to acknowledge that that's how someone else feels and start to understand a little bit more why they could feel that way and what we could do to help them not feel that way. So whether it's real or whether it's perceived, even if it's perceived, it's real. It's there. People feel this way. They're reacting because they feel this way. How do we help empathize with a community within our country that is still struggling with social justice, with what they feel is equal standard of living within this country? So that's my perspective on all of that. So with that said, I'm in support of the NBA continuing to allow us. They're Black players. Like, they have Black Americans that are playing for them. They have international players that are also Black that are playing for them. I love that they're allowing them to provide their voice in conjunction with the NBA. The NBA is stepping in as an organization and saying, we're also in support of continuing to advance the black community in the United States, culturally, economically, socially. I'm not opposed to the choices they've made to adding stuff on the court, adding stuff on the back of jerseys. Some of the players that have chosen to put stuff on their jerseys, I'm like, really? I'm surprised. But again, I've not lived racial profiling, social injustices to the same extent that a black person could within this country. So all I can do is at least empathize with them to say, I'm sorry that this happens and I'm sorry that you feel this way. What can I do to help in some way to start to drive cultural changes? So I'm for that movement. I'll just clarify that. But what I'm not for is the NBA taking a complete 180 on other social justice initiatives that impact communities that they're a part of. And I'm talking specifically about what happened in Hong Kong and what happened to the NBA back in October. If you're unfamiliar with the Hong Kong protests, which don't get me wrong, I'm not an expert. If you're unfamiliar with the Hong Kong protests, essentially, people were protesting an upcoming bill that the People's Republic of China was trying to pass that would allow the People's Republic of China to extradite Hong Kong residents to other countries for criminal trials. That's a pretty scary thought if you're a Hong Kong resident, especially considering they're an autonomous state from China. They are not a city, a state within China that is governed by Chinese rule. They're an autonomous state as part of the People's Republic of China. So they are allowed to autonomously govern themselves to an extent. A lot of residents of Hong Kong felt that China was overstepping its boundaries. The concern, like as much of an example as I can give, the concern would be if you commit a crime in a different country, you go back to Hong Kong, this country says you committed a crime, the Chinese government would help to get you back to that crime to face criminal trial in that country. That can be scary if you maybe didn't commit the crime, but also if you did commit the crime and the rules, the consequences, the laws in that country where you committed it were significantly more harmful to you than the laws, the rules within Hong Kong. It would be like going to a different country, being accused of committing a crime, and then your country saying, we're going to send you over there so that you can be tried criminally. It's pretty scary for someone, for a resident of Hong Kong. So a lot of protests started to take place to remove this bill. Through those protests started riots, as we typically see with protests. There's additional context to why some of these riots started. I'm not going to get into the whole history of it. You can read about a lot of this on like Wikipedia, on news articles from October. But essentially what you have to know is that a country, the People's Republic of China, was trying to overrule the autonomous state of Hong Kong. And the Hong Kong residents protested and said, we won't let you infringe upon our freedom. Through these protests and through some of the more violent protests, it incited police brutality and excessive police force, which again, contextually, I'm not saying that police are bad, and I'm not saying that every police officer exhibits excessive force, and I'm not even saying that the definition of excessive force that was used in Hong Kong is actually excessive force. You get a lot of reports that say the police were beating people, shooting people, tear gassing people, but you don't see the reports where the protesters were spitting at police officers, hitting police officers, throwing bombs at police officers. There's hostility that took place between police officers and protesters, and both parties are responsible for it. The point is that it continued to escalate. And what continued to escalate as well is the demands from the Hong Kong residents to permanently get rid of this bill and to permanently declare their autonomy as a state so that China won't continue to infringe on their freedoms. This is important context to understand because in October of 2019, during the NBA preseason and during the start of the NBA season, I think it was actually the first two games of the season it was going to be. I can't remember. I don't remember if it was preseason or the actual start of the season. Either way, NBA teams were traveling to China. A few NBA teams traveled to China to play basketball games and to do some publicity, some promotion for the NBA in China, all while these violent protests are taking place in Hong Kong. Daryl Morey, an executive for the Houston Rockets, made the choice to tweet for support of Hong Kong residents. Here's what he tweeted. He said, "Fight for freedom, stand with Hong Kong." And he posted a photo, an image of I think it was like a skyline of Hong Kong. It might have been like protesters. I can't remember what it was. But he basically said, "Fight for freedom, stand with Hong Kong." That was his tweet. He was showing support for protesters in Hong Kong. As soon as he did that, NBA lost billions of dollars because the Chinese government, the communist Chinese government, cut their deals, cut their ties with the NBA and said, nope, we're not going to support you if you're supporting Hong Kong. It's a communist country that said we're not going to support freedom and judicial autonomy. The NBA's had a choice. They can respond by saying, we support Daryl, we support his freedom of speech, and we're going to stand with Hong Kong too. That's not what they did. They obviously sided with China because they lost billions of dollars. They tucked their tail between their legs and waddled back to China and said, please forgive us. Give us your money. They didn't even necessarily have to say we're in support of either one, but they absolutely 180'd, distanced themselves from Daryl Morey, fined, suspended him, and took a hard stance that what he said was wrong. This was escalated when LeBron James responded to what Daryl Morey said about Hong Kong. Understand, again, the context of what's happened here. Protesters protesting what they felt was an infringement on their freedom, potentially leading to even more drastic religious freedom, or not religious freedoms, excuse me, judicial freedoms being taken away from them. They're concerned about their freedom, their ability to live freely, because there's laws China is trying to impose on them that they feel are out of the authority of China. It's out of their judicial authority. They don't have authority to make these laws on them. They're trying to protest that and say, we don't agree with that. It turned violent. I think we've heard some of that happen in the United States recently, where people are upset with how the police are reacting to protests. 100% in support of the protesters in the United States, not the military response to it. People are protesting in Hong Kong. Someone tweets support for protesters and they get chastised for it. Here's what LeBron James had to say about Daryl Morey. He said, I don't want to get into a feud with Daryl Morey, but I believe he wasn't educated on the situation at hand and he spoke. So many people could have been harmed, not only financially, but physically, emotionally, spiritually. So just be careful what we tweet, what we say, what we do. Even though, yes, we do have freedom of speech, there can be a lot of negative that comes from that. He then went on to say, I'm not here to judge how the league handled the situation. I just think that, and that's in response to, you know, they fined, suspended Daryl Morey, came out very clearly the next day and said they support China. James said, I'm not here to judge how the league handled the situation. I think that when you're misinformed or not educated about something, and I'm just talking about the tweet itself, you never know the ramifications that can happen. And we all see what that did, not only for the league, for all of us in America, for people in China as well. Sometimes you have to think through things that you say that may cause harm to not only yourself, but for the majority of people. I think that's just a prime example of that. Let me recap what LeBron James said. He said Daryl Morey spoke up for something that he believed in, but it was wrong, and he's not allowed to do that. Basically is what he said, because it's financially impacted the league and China. He didn't even mention Hong Kong. He didn't even mention the fact that people are protesting in Hong Kong for social injustice. He basically jumped to the conclusion that Daryl Morey tweeted about something he wasn't informed on. And it cost the league money, and LeBron wasn't happy. The great thing about doing this recap and this analysis is that I get to use some very recent comments from LeBron to show the two-faced nature of the NBA. Here's what LeBron said just days ago about a topic that's very sensitive in the United States right now. The topic is the killing of Breonna Taylor, a 26-year-old that was killed March 13th in her home in Louisville by three officers that executed a no-knock search warrant for people that were not even at her home. They got the wrong house. Essentially what happened is that police officers walked up to her house, entered the home with a warrant without knocking in plain street clothes, shot her because shots were returned to them. Her boyfriend got up, thought they were home invaders because they didn't say who they were, shot at them, and they shot back and killed Breonna Taylor. That's an incredibly significantly sensitive topic right now, especially for the black community. Another black person has died at the hands of the police, the people that are supposed to be protecting them. I understand his frustration. I understand the black community's frustration there. I can't relate to it because it doesn't happen to me, but I understand how frustrated you could be about that. Here's what LeBron James said about this. We want the cops arrested who committed that crime. As one of the leaders of this league, I want her family to know, and the state of Kentucky, where Louisville is, to know that we feel for her and we want justice. That's what it's all about. Here it is. Here's my line. LeBron said, "What's right is right and what's wrong is wrong. This is a wrong situation that's going on in my eyes." Nine months ago, LeBron said, "Don't tweet if it's going to impact my bottom line." Today, he's standing up and saying what's right is right and what's wrong is wrong. By the way, protests are still taking place in Hong Kong. As recently as May, laws have been passed to continue to try to infringe on the autonomy of Hong Kong. I don't even care about Hong Kong, quite honestly. That's not the point of this podcast. What I care about is that this is an organization. It's a community. It's a culture. Where they're going to sit by, not even sit by, they take a hard stance against supporting a social justice movement or protesters or citizens, people fighting against a communist state. They'd rather do business with a communist state like China than support or even acknowledge the need for people in Hong Kong. By the way, the United States in November passed a law to basically contradict everything that the Chinese government was trying to infringe on Hong Kong. They've passed a law where yearly they'll submit certification for the autonomy of Hong Kong, and they'll continuously monitor Chinese regulation and rule so that laws that are passed by the Chinese government don't infringe on the autonomy. They basically stepped in and say, "We'll act as your independent third-party agency to make sure that China doesn't overstep its boundaries and infringe upon your autonomy." The U.S. government did that in November. But in October, the NBA said, "Sorry, Hong Kong, China pays the bill." I'm not going to watch the NBA this year because I don't believe them when they say what's right is right and what's wrong is wrong. The only thing they care about right now is their bottom line. And it's sickening to me to watch them abuse social justice movements to try to turn a dollar, to try to make some money. I don't believe them when they say they fight for freedom. I don't believe them when they say they fight for any sort of social justice. Not that you need to believe them to enjoy watching the sport. I just refuse to contribute to an organization that in my eyes is corrupt in their morality. What's right is right, and what's wrong is wrong. And supporting the NBA this season is just not right. Okay, so here's the other reason. That's right. There wasn't just one reason. It wasn't just completely moral to me. I'm not some high morality person, okay? I just wanted to twist your head a little bit. Here's the real reason why I'm not watching the NBA, okay? It's because it's dumb. Have you seen any of the scrimmage footage? It's very dumb, and it's kind of boring. There's no crowd. There's zero pressure. it feels just like the Orlando Summer League. It feels just like the Orlando Summer League. No fans, limited crowd because it's just the team and reporters. It's weird and it's kind of dumb. And what's dumbest about it is that they're calling it a resumption of the 2019-2020 season. If you wanted to bring the NBA back for a abbreviated stint during COVID, just create some tourney, call the season and say no one's winning a championship this year because our season's completely different this year. We don't have any fans. We're not playing in our own stadiums. There's no home court advantage. Call it what it is. It's not an extension of the season. It's not a resumption of the season. It's very different. It's not completely different. It's very different. There's still a ball and a hoop in two teams. I get it. But it's very, very different from a total experience standpoint. So what's going to happen is someone's going to win this and people are going to be like, eh, so what? LeBron and the Lakers are going to win and forever his legacy is going to be, yeah, he won, but does it count? Like, people questioned the Spurs' first championship because it was a lockout season. People questioned LeBron's first championship because it was a lockout season. I don't think anyone is going to look at this season and say, yeah, they won. They resumed this season 6 months later in an abbreviated regular season playoff format. And not all teams even participated. It's limited teams. It's only in Orlando. It's just weird. It's dumb. Why didn't the NBA come out and say, we're not going to call it a resumption of the season. We're going to create a tournament. I don't know what you call the tournament. Call it the COVID tournament for all I care. We're going to play for the COVID tourney championship. And no, it doesn't go down as a championship in the record books in the same level as a regular season championship. But it at least doesn't get mocked, neglected, rejected in the history books. Because whichever team wins this championship, there will always be an asterisk in permanent ink to say, yeah, but that wasn't really a championship. Yeah, but there weren't any fans. Yeah, but there weren't all the teams resuming. You didn't resume the rest of the season. Yeah, you won the championship, but I'm not watching the rest of the season because it's dumb and it's a waste of my time. Go outside. Go to a park if your parks are open near you. Like, don't watch this garbage resumption of what they call NBA basketball. It's not NBA basketball. It's grown men playing AAU pickup basketball, and it's a waste of time. Don't do it. Save your capacity. Spend time with your kids. Whatever it is. Go shoot a real basketball. Just don't watch this garbage. It is absolute garbage. Don't watch it. And, you know, I mean, all the, you know, the morality stuff I said before, you know, double stands, blah, blah, blah. But still, don't watch it. It's a waste of time. It's not good. It feels like AAU. It's not the NBA. Don't let the NBA get away with stealing your time to watch these dudes just play ball. It's not a good experience. It's not the right experience. Don't waste your time. Go shoot a real basketball. That's all I've got to say. Thanks for listening to this episode of the Basketball Podcast. I might start releasing some episodes again. We'll see. This was fun. I haven't done this in 6 months. It was good to get back into the chair in front of the mic and record some stuff for the Basketball Podcast. Thank you so much for listening. If you haven't subscribed yet, make sure you subscribe to the Basketball Podcast. It's good to be back. I hope you're staying safe. I hope you're staying well. Don't watch the morally corrupt garbage basketball that the NBA is trying to tout. We'll see you next time on the Basketball Podcast.